That cushion was stop.
Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again for another episode of the Jazz Treasury. And on this episode, we feature Clarence Williams. And that first track you heard was Clarence Williams, a tune written by Clarence Williams called Cushion Foot Stomp, recorded in 1927, New York City, featured Clarence Williams and his Washboard Five, which includes Ed Allen on cornet, possibly Ben Whittet on clarinet, Clarence Williams on piano and vocal, Cyrus St. Clair on brass bass, and Floyd Casey on the washboard. Cushion Foot Stomp. Who was Clarence Williams? In the early days, the jazz business, like jazz music, had to invent itself. Not only the star players, but also the figures behind them. The agents, producers, session musicians, arrangers, composers, and publishers were used to having to make it up as they went along. For two decades, no one was more multi-skilled than Clarence Williams, a middling piano player from New Orleans who became one of the most powerful black figures in the business of American popular music. Clarence Williams was born in Plaquemine, Louisiana, near Baton Rouge, on October 8th, 1893. In his early teens, he moved to New Orleans, and by the time he was in his 20s, he was running a cabaret on Rampart Street. It was a very rough place, he would recall later, where the railroad fellows would hang out, the kind of place where, from time to time, they would break it up when there was a fight. The man who owned the place came to me and asked me to run it. He told me, "I'll furnish the liquor, and you furnish the entertainment and the girls," quote unquote. Well, I put my brother in charge and hired a floor walker, 6 feet tall and carrying a police stick. I had the place cleaned and scrubbed and painted and made a strict rule. Nobody was allowed in unless they would wear a coat and a collar. Turned out to be a respectable place, and if anybody got rough, the floor walker would knock those fellows out and throw them outside. Here, a little off-the-record remark. I would go from door to door with my music, Clarence Williams reminisced. I'd knock on a door and say, "I've got a new song. It's only 10 cents. And they'd say, "Come on in." I'd sit down at the piano and play and sing, and pretty soon the neighbors would be in, and I'd be selling plenty of copies. All right, we're going to listen to Organ Grinder Blues, again written by Clarence Williams, and this features Williams's Jug Band. But Williams's Jug Band consisted of Cecil Scott on clarinet, Herman Chittison, and or Willie the Lion Smith, all right, playing piano, Ikey Robinson on tenor guitar and vocal, Clarence Williams on jug and spoons, right on, William Williams on washboard, Eva Taylor and Clarence Todd on vocal, recorded in New York City, 1933. Let's listen to Organ Grinder Blues on the Jazz Treasury.
What's the matter with you fellas here sitting on your sleep? Ain't you gonna play no music? You done drink up all my liquor here tonight? I got to sell this tub of chitlins here. And that catfish must go. Come on there, boy. Wrap your lips around that clarinet and get cutty low. That's more like it. That's more like it. Where's them lowland singers at?
Organ grinder.
Thank you. tonight. We only got chitlins and catfish.
Organ Grinder Blues, Clarence Williams. Although he was keenly interested in music from the start, Williams had little formal music education. According to Frank Walker, recording director at Columbia Records in New York, who probably heard the story from Williams himself, when he was back home in New Orleans, he played piano in one of those honky-tonks and could only play by ear, maybe knowing a half dozen songs. Then some inebriate might come in and ask for a song he didn't know, and Clarence would say, "Come back tomorrow night." And the next day, he'd go down to the 5- and 10-cent store, to the sheet music counter, and pull out the song for the piano player to demonstrate. He would hear it once and know it. If that customer came back, Clarence would play the song and maybe pick up a dime tip. There was only so far that an ambitious man could go in the music business in New Orleans. In 1921, having spent 2 or 3 years in Chicago, Williams ended up where the industry itself was, in New York. He pushed his songs, putting them into print and onto record and piano rolls, opened a booking agency, and put together his Blue Five, including Sidney Bechet and the New York-born cornetist Thomas Morris. The group found success straight away with the first disc for OK Records, Wildcat Blues, coupled with Kansas City Man Blues. Everybody had that record, recalled New Orleans clarinetist Barney Bigard. That was all you could hear. Every time you passed someone's house that had the door or windows open, they'd be playing that on their Victrola. In the following year, Louis Armstrong replaced Morris and let his youthful brilliance play over recordings such as Coal Cart Blues or Livin' High Sometimes. Louis Armstrong played with Clarence Williams. All right, another track. I Found a New Baby. Now that's the name of the track. I Found a New Baby. And this is a small band recorded in New York City, 1930. Clarence Williams on piano and spoons. James P. Johnson on piano and spoons. Just the two of them. I Found a New Baby on the Jazz Treasury.
What's the matter with you, Clarence? You're not playing with much pep today.
I don't feel good, Jimmy. I don't feel good.
You don't feel good?
No, I don't feel good, Jimmy.
What's the trouble?
Oh, I don't know. I was at a party last night, and I think somebody poisoned me. I ate about 5 pies, and I only ate about 12 pig feet, and I think them pig feet must be kicking on me or something.
Oh, shucks. Why don't you do something for it?
I'm going to, Jimmy, just soon as we get through rehearsing, I'm going to see a doctor.
You don't need no doctor.
How come I don't?
I got something for you right here in my left hip pocket.
Jimmy, I wish you'd let me have it.
Open your mouth.
Yeah, it is.
Now stick out your tongue.
Here.
Now how did the proposition look to you?
Jimmy, I sure feel good. What kind of powders was that you put on my tongue, Jimmy?
Allen's footies.
Allen's footies? Great gracious, Jimmy, let's play the piano.
Thank you.
There it is. I've found a new baby. Clarence Williams playing with James P. Johnson. A couple of weeks earlier, Williams had taken this tune for an outing with the band. But here, he and James P. Johnson ride it round the block in tandem, enlivening the trip with some patter straight off the vaudeville stage, where Williams, at least, had learned part of his trade. Well, throughout the second half of the 1920s, Williams may well have been the busiest man in jazz. I guess that I'd been on or else made about 5,000 records, he claimed a quarter of a century later. There was one time I figured I was losing money being under contract to OK. And so I recorded under lots of different names. The Blue Five, Lazy Levy Loungers, The Blue Four, Washboard Foot Warmers, Jazz Kings, and many others. And they were for companies like Grey Gull, QRS, Path, Edison, Columbia, Gannett, Paramount, and all those other labels they had then. Then again, Williams would often be at a session not to play, but to oversee the use of the material he had written or published. An ever-growing portfolio that included such perennials as Royal Garden Blues, which he wrote with the lyricist Spencer Williams, Baby Won't You Please Come Home, Sugar Blues, Papa Da Da Da, Golf Ghost Blues, the contentious Squeeze Me, a Fats Waller melody with words claimed by Williams as his but probably actually written by Andy Razaf. All right, Clarence Williams had a colorful life. And I think we just heard that, Papa Da Da Da. We're going to listen to Papa Da Da Da. It's even fun to say Papa Da Da Da. But this is another Williams cut, and two Williamses wrote this one. 1931, New York City, Clarence Williams and his Jazz Kings, Bill Dillard and Ward Pinkett on trumpets, James Archie on trombone, Benji Madison on clarinet and tenor sax, Fred Skirret on alto sax and baritone sax, Henry Jones on tenor, Gene Rogers on piano, Goldie Lucas on banjo and guitar, Richard Fulbright on banjo and baritone and brass bass, Bill Bigson on drums, Clarence Williams, Eva Teller, and Clarence Todd doing the vocals. Wow, Papa Da 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 on the Jazz Treasury.
Thank you. You're listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
So to ease his enormous workload, Williams assembled a team of reliable studio musicians. One recorded with Williams on a routine mass production basis. Remembered trumpeter Charlie Gaines, he never engaged a man for specific dates. He had a stable of musicians on a weekly payroll. You might be called for several dates every day, or maybe none for a week, but you received a standard sum of about $85 a week. Now, one of the benefits of running a stable of musicians was that Williams could record the same tune for two or more labels without blatantly repeating himself. By changing a musician or two, he could subtly alter the coloring of the performance, but often he would choose a different tempo as well, or add a vocal. You could, for example, buy Candy Lips with or without a washboard on it, or Cushion Foot Stomp and Papa Da Da Da, either as band instrumentals or with vocals. Organ Grinder Blues came packaged in half a dozen different styles, as a piano solo, as an instrumental for orchestra, or for jug band, or sung by Victory Spivey, Ethel Waters, or Eva Taylor. There were obvious advantages in this for a band leader who was also the composer and publisher of much of his repertoire. Smart guy. All right, Candy Lips, 1927. We're going back in time here. This is going to be played by Clarence Williams and his Jazz Kings, possibly Ben Whittet and Benny Moten on clarinet, Clarence Williams on piano, Leroy Harris on banjo, and Cyrus Sinclair on brass bass. New York City, 1927. Let's listen to Candy Lips. Thank you. So a man in Williams's position was likely to weather the Depression more buoyantly than many contemporaries, and although things were very quiet for him on the recording front in 1931 and 1932, he bounced back in 1933 with some delightful jug band sides, including Mr. Will You Serenade and Shim Sham Shimmy Dance, sung with relish by Eva Taylor and featuring clarinetist Cecil Scott and Willie the Lion Smith on piano. Williams himself blew the jug, and his brother Willie beat the washboard. As early as 1945, remembered Eva Taylor, Clarence's health started to fail. He sold an interest in his company to Decca Records. He had also been interested in antiques and had opened a store in 1940. Any jazz collector who happened to drop in would have found among the assorted bric-a-brac a steep stack of old 78 RPM discs. Perhaps it contained some of Williams's own recordings. There had been enough of them, after all, and Clarence Williams died in 1965. Eva Taylor survived him by a dozen years, some of which she spent singing with admiring jazz musicians both at home and abroad and telling them affectionate stories of her partner and their musical friends. You know, I want to go back in time a little bit. A couple more years. I want to go back to 1925 in New York City, living high. Sometimes, Clarence Williams's Blue Five with Louis Armstrong on cornet, Charlie Urbis on trombone, Buster Bailey on clarinet and soprano sax, Don Rebin clarinet or soprano sax, Clarence Williams on piano, Buddy Christian on bass, Eva Taylor doing the vocal here. Let's go back and hear some early Satchmo playing with Clarence Williams. Living high sometime. Living high sometimes, Clarence Williams with Louis Armstrong there. I'm going to tell you some things to look out for. You want to listen to expand your jazz repertoire a bit, some recommended listening. How about Dreaming the Hours Away, 1928? This lilting side by Williams' Jazz Kings exemplifies his ability to conjure a big sound from a small group. Here, a septet, including for once Coleman Hawkins on both tenor and clarinet. Listen for Dreaming the Hours Away. How about Ethel Waters, West End Blues, Organ Grinder Blues, 1928. Much of Williams' studio time was spent at the piano accompanying blues singers. Many of those sides were made before the days of electrical recording and gave only a rough idea of his ability. But this attractive and well-recorded coupling gives the listener the measure of his skill and imagination. Ethel Waters, West End Blues, Organ Grinder Blues. How about Kentucky, 1930, a quintet featuring lively clarinet by Buster Bailey and Floyd Casey at his smartest on washboard, played crisply on this charming melody, apparently written by Williams. It went unissued, no one knows why, until the 1960s. Kentucky. How about Texas Moaner Blues, 1924? Jazz historian James Lincoln Collier described the first disc by Williams's Blue Five with Louis Armstrong as probably the best example we have of how the blues were played in New Orleans for slow drag dancing Armstrong. Bechet and trombonist Charlie Irvis weave their solemn lines in and out to compelling effect. And then the last one, he wouldn't stop doing it. You're bound to look like a monkey when you grow old. 1930. That's two tracks. He wouldn't stop doing it. And you're bound to look like a monkey when you grow old. This jolly couplings seems a blueprint for the out-and-out hokum of a few years later. Even the lineup anticipates the early 1930s band, including, as it does, Cecil Scott's spiky clarinet and the elegant guitar of Ikey Robinson. Williams delivers the numbers with a lugubrious slyness. Some recommended listening. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Jazz Treasury featuring Clarence Williams. And the information we get, most of it, almost all of it, is from a magazine called Jazz Greats, and plus some album covers and biographies and internet research. These are things I've learned. And the Jazz Treasury is put out by the Marshall Cavendish Leisure Collection back in the late 1990s. And thank you very much, because some great stuff in here. And be sure to visit our Facebook page. Give us a like. Give us a listen. Post something, if you would. Make some requests. I'll see what I can do. But this is about the 57th episode of the Jazz Treasury. I want to thank you so much for your support. We're over 100,000 downloads, and hopefully the flame of jazz is staying alight. Next time on the Jazz Treasury, we look at Slim Galliard, the premier crazy man of jazz. Slim fascinated hipsters and squares alike with his surreal humor and sly satire, while keeping them nodding to his zestful playing on piano, guitar, and vibes. After a long disappearance, he reemerged in the 1980s to enchant a new audience. So we'll listen to Slim Galliard next time on the Jazz Treasury. Until then, enjoy the jazz.